Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation on this day, on this special occasion of John Springler's confirmation, you find recorded in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here ends the text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, and especially you, John, who today are confirming your faith and pledging lifelong faithfulness to Jesus and to his holy word. It's hard to believe that we've studied the catechism and confirmation class now for 3 years. During that time period, since you were a sixth grader, John, we've been blessed by the Lord to have 80 sessions together studying the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. And during this time, you've learned a lot of Bible verses. You've committed to memory various parts of the catechism and a number of precious psalms. There have also been many important Bible words that you have learned the meaning of, very important for our lives as Christians, like regeneration, sanctification, justification. There's one word in particular I'd like to spend a few more minutes in my last class, quote unquote, with you this morning. On your confirmation day and every day of your life moving forward, I encourage you to praise the Lord for his grace. An important Bible word, grace. What is grace? Well, you remember from our catechism study that grace is God's undeserved love. We often describe it as amazing because it's incredible, almost unbelievable to think that God could or would turn his loving fatherly heart towards us poor sinners who are not worthy even of the least of his kindnesses. In the verse that comes at the beginning of our text, Paul says, "You were dead in trespasses." You remember also Bible verses, law verses that you had as on your memory assignment list. Some law verses like, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Then from Romans 7, where Paul writes, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." You learned, according to the Bible, that sin is like an awful disease that we are all born with, 1,000 times worse than any COVID-19 virus, because it means we were destined to live only a few years here on earth and then to suffer the terrible punishment, separated from God forever in the eternal fires of hell. What did God do for you? You also learned a lot of sweet Bible verses, gospel-centered verses, like John 3:16, where we learn that in His grace, God gave the world His only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish in hell, but have eternal life. He sent Jesus to live a holy life for you and to offer His life as a ransom for your deliverance at the high cost of His holy, precious blood and His innocent sufferings and death. And then, during your time of life, He made these blessings your own personal possession on the day of your baptism, when your parents brought you to this font here in the front of the church on September 24th, 2006. You received the sacrament of baptism in the name of the Triune God and made all the blessings of Jesus your own personal possession. He applied to your soul His healing touch, cured you of the sin virus, took off from you the filthy clothes of your goodness, which in the sight of our holy God are like filthy rags, and dressed you in the indescribably beautiful, super magnificent clothes of Jesus' holiness by working the miracle of faith in your heart. Isn't that something wonderful to think about? What reason you have today and each day of your life moving forward to praise the Lord and to sing, "Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all, wherever I might be, what great things the Lord has done for me." And you also have great reason to praise the Lord, because in His grace, He's going to empower you to live as His dear child in the days of your life ahead. I know, John, that you like to play the Minecraft video game. For those of you who aren't familiar with Minecraft, that would probably be most of us adults. It's a computer game in which players build and explore a procedurally generated 3D world and discover and extract various raw materials like dirt, stone, ores of metal, water, lava, also various craft tools so that they can build structures. And part of the game, depending on the world that you select, the game mode is to hunt for passive mobs like cows and chickens and pigs, which you can use for food, and to defend yourself against the hostile mobs, large spiders and other dangerous creatures and creepers that can sneak up on you and hurt you. Yeah, if you choose the lower level of difficulty, the hostile mobs are not permitted to spawn and hurt you. But if you choose the higher degree of difficulty, you run the risk of taking damage from the hostile mobs and to starve to death if your hunger bar gets depleted. Of course, in Minecraft, you know, everybody knows mobs and the creepers aren't real. Just imaginary computer-generated creatures that are fantasy. In our lives as baptized children of God, living in this world, there are real hostile mobs who are out to do us damage, who want to hurt our faith and deprive our souls of spiritual food so that we starve spiritually. From your catechism study, you've learned to know who these mobs are. There's the old creeper, sly dragon, Satan. He's hiding around the corner ear for a chance to pounce on you and devour you spiritually. the wicked world that wants to creep in upon us Christians and lead us away from our Savior, away from the safety of His sheepfold, from His church, from the Bible, so that our hunger bar, spiritually speaking, gets run down and our faith peters out. And then there's the old Adam, the sin nature, which would spawn sins, lead us into all manner of sinful conduct pattern after the morally polluted world to our spiritual ruin. Paul in Ephesians 6 describes these mobs that we Christians must do battle with on a daily basis as the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the hymn writer graphically describes these enemies of our faith when he says, "My soul, be on your guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts or armies of sin are pressing hard to draw you from the skies," that is, to spoil your faith in Jesus and keep you from making it to the final goal of your faith, which is heaven. So how can you defend yourself? How can any of us defend ourselves against these sinister enemies? Well, you've again learned that from your scripture study, your catechism class. You've read, memorized Bible verses where the Lord has taught you that He is the one who enables you by His word to stay powered up spiritually and your soul well fed so that your hunger bar does not get depleted. The Lord in love, in His grace, makes you invulnerable to all the enemy creepers. Paul put it like this later on in that same Ephesians chapter 6, encouragement to all of us as Christians. "Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist," the truth of God's word, "the breastplate of righteousness in place," always remembering that I'm covered with Jesus' perfect righteousness by faith, "with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." As you walk step by step through your life, remember that through repentance you have the joy, the peace of God's forgiveness in Christ. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That's why in your confirmation vows, John, you're going to be promising to be diligent in the use of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the means of grace, the gospel, and the Word, and the sacrament, to be a faithful Bible student and a faithful church attender and a faithful guest at the Lord's Supper, because that's the weapon or the power source that the God of all grace is going to use to keep you safe, keep your faith strong against the evil enemies that we all meet up with along the road of life in this sinful world. And also, not only using the Word of God as a defensive weapon, but as an offensive weapon. That's also alluded to by Paul in our text here in Ephesians 2, that he will enable you to live a life productive to the Lord's glory in good works, which he, and this is pretty amazing to think about, he picked out to you to do for him for his praise even before you ever were his child. In fact, even before the world was. That's what Paul says. "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So yeah, he will in his amazing grace enable you to let your Christian light shine as his baptized child, to show your love for Jesus by living according to the precepts of his holy word, by the godly attitudes you display in your interactions with other people and by the way that you talk, the words that you season with Christian love. Also, when you're away at school, Lord willing, next fall at Eau Claire, and your parents aren't around to watch over you and lend you their loving guidance, you know that Jesus will be there watching over you and helping you in love to walk in his good shepherd paths through the word that you continue faithfully to hear and learn. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it show what a special Savior you have who is rich, truly rich in his amazing grace? And finally, may you rejoice and praise God on your confirmation day and each day of the future because you have the Lord's guarantee that he's going to keep you as his dear child, saved by grace, all the way to the end. Have you learned about verb tenses in school, like in English grammar class? You know there are like past tenses of verbs, John, right? There's present tenses, and then there's future tenses. Yesterday I rode to Walmart in the car with my dad and mom. Past tense. Today I'm worshiping Jesus with my fellow Christians at church. Present tense, right? Tonight, and I don't know if you're going to do it or not, but I will watch an exciting Disney movie with my sister. Future tense. Well, guess which verb tense the Apostle Paul uses here in our text when speaking about our entrance into the joys of heaven with Jesus. If you're thinking future, you would be wrong. This is also pretty interesting and amazing that Paul uses the past tense when talking about our being with Jesus in heaven. Here's what he says. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Past tense, that in the ages to come he might then show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. Why does Paul use the past tense when speaking about the Lord our God taking us to be with him in heaven, to be with Jesus? Answer, because as baptized, regenerated, restored, redeemed, forgiven children of the Heavenly Father, we already have everything that Jesus came from heaven to give us. And as far as God is concerned, and that's the perspective Paul is presenting here, we're already sitting with Jesus in glory. Our final victory has already been won. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As you stay in touch with Jesus through his word throughout your life, faithfully utilizing the means he's provided to keep you as his own, you've already been brought by him into your heavenly homeland. That is the guarantee, John, that the Lord gives you on your confirmation day and each day of your life ahead. So praise the Lord. May we all praise the Lord for his amazing grace by which he made us his children, by which he empowers us to live each day as his saved children, and keeps us as his own until our heavenly homecoming day. Amen.